good evening. Welcome back once again. I think it's pretty apparent that the U.S. projection of political involvement, and who knows, ultimately perhaps military involvement, in Lithuania is anything but independent, anything but democratic, I should say. Lithuania may become independent, although, again, the Soviet military has indicated flat out that they will not stand for the breakup of the Soviet Union. There is, I think, a distinct possibility of civil war inside the USSR, which could ultimately result in a nuclear incident. We will talk about that more next week. Who knows just what effect, what ripple effect a nuclear incident inside the Soviet Union might have, could precipitate World War III. It's one of the things that I'm afraid of, at least as a possibility. Maybe unlikely, but we will find out. I think it's very apparent, though, that the Lithuanian independence movement is anything but democratic. If that's democracy, I would hate to see fascism. One of the things that I think is going on is an attempt by the United States and the elements it's using in Lithuania, NED, LCRA, and LIC, with its obvious fascist and Nazi antecedents and activities and sentiments, is I think this is an attempt to deliberately provoke a Soviet reaction. There has already been such a reaction, and my feeling is that this was intended. It is my belief that the goal of the United States, as I said, is a destabilization of the USSR by forcing a hard line with resulting high Soviet military spending, with resulting economic and political destabilization of the Soviet Union. The political destabilization because of the economic destabilization. My feeling is that the fascist elements being elevated by the U.S. and its allies in Lithuania are intended to provoke a reaction. I think ultimately Sejudis and Landsbergis and people like that are intended as sacrificial lambs. Certainly with a legacy of World War II under their belt, the Soviet national security establishment is not likely to take a very, it is certainly likely to take a very dim view of these kind of things and is not likely to tolerate them. And again, I do not think that the Soviets are going to tolerate a loss of the Baltics, so to speak, and I believe that the covert action we have just described with its obvious use of residual Nazi and fascist elements, with ties obviously going back to the Galen Organization, that represents basically a move onto the Soviets' northern flank. And bear in mind what I said about the Baltics. They are an absolutely critical area for the Soviets, strategically speaking, because that allows them access to the Baltic Sea so that they can project their naval forces into the Baltic Sea and at least attempt to neutralize NATO naval forces that might operate in that area. The destabilization of the Soviet northern flank with the U.S. thrust onto the Soviet southern flank in the Middle East represents, I think, not only at least from an overview standpoint, a flanking maneuver against the Soviets, but an attempt, as I said, to destabilize them, provoke a hard line with the resulting effect, and we will go into this next week at much greater length, the resulting economic and consequent destabilization of the Soviet Union. The last two articles that I'm going to read this evening both come from the New York Times of Tuesday, February 26th, of 1991. At the bottom of the front page of that particular edition of the New York Times, we find the following article: Warsaw Pact agrees to dissolve its military alliance by March 31st. It's by Celestine Bohlen, B-O-H-L-E-N. Dateline Budapest. It reads in part as follows. Fatally stricken by the collapse of Soviet power in Eastern Europe, the Warsaw Pact today signed its own obituary with an agreement to dissolve the 36-year-old military alliance by March 31st. The future of the treaty's political links will be decided at another meeting in Prague in June, but spokesmen for the new democracies in Eastern Europe today made clear that it is a matter of time and formalities before all traces of the old Soviet-dominated alliance disappear. Quote, when you deprive the Warsaw Treaty of its military essence, it becomes more or less an empty shell, unquote, said the Polish Foreign Minister Krzysztof Szubiewski, S-K-U-B-I-S-Z-E-W-S-K-I, at a news conference where representatives of the Soviet Union were notably absent. As the Warsaw Pact dissolves, and obviously that has to make the Soviet military planners and political planners that much edgier, we find on page A5 of the same edition of the New York Times, this being February 26th of 1991, the following story by Michael Wines of the New York Times, W-I-N-E-S, headlined, Americans say new uncertainties are putting new life into NATO. Dateline Washington, it reads in part as follows. Just as the demise of the Warsaw Pact appeared ready to deal a symbolic blow to NATO's role as defender of Europe, the Persian Gulf War and the erosion of Soviet reforms have joined to pump new vigor into the aging Western military alliance, Bush administration officials say. The Soviet crisis, capped by an army crackdown in the Baltic republics, dashed hopes that Europe could finally safely dismiss Moscow's military threat, the officials said. Meanwhile, Iraq's seizure of Kuwait's oil industry awakened Europeans to the fact that the Soviets were not the sole danger to their collective security. As a result, those and other officials say NATO's dominant role in European military issues is unlikely to ebb soon, even though the alliance faces wrenching political strains. NATO may even grow a bit. It may even grow a bit, some of the officials add, as nations of the old communist bloc seek to tie themselves to NATO's security policies as a counterweight to the Soviets' unpredictability. Well, again, what we're seeing here, according to the Bush people, is a strengthening, or at least a perpetuation and new life, quote-unquote, into NATO, even as the Warsaw Pact is fading completely, it's being dissolved. This obviously has to make the Soviets that much edgier, with the resulting promotion of a hard line, for reasons I've already indicated. Beyond that, it's to be noted that one of the forces doing this is the Soviet army crackdown in the Baltic republics. Well, as we've seen, what's happening in the Baltic republics is anything but democratic, and it is my feeling that the deliberate projection of Third Reich elements into the political scene in Lithuania and the other Baltic states, bear in mind that Lithuania has become a center for secessionist activity in other Soviet republics, and we'll look at that in weeks to come, I do not think that that could be expected to do anything but provoke a Soviet crackdown. I think ultimately the Baltics and Sejudis and Landsbergis are intended by the U.S. National Security Establishment as a sacrificial lamb, much the way the Hungarian independence movement was deliberately sacrificed in 1956. I think that this again represents a destabilization attempt at the Soviet Union, intended to revive the Cold War, provoke continued high levels of Soviet military spending in order to destabilize the Soviet Union economically. We will be going into this at considerable length next week. I think also that the tying of old communist nations of Eastern Europe to NATO is likely to further aggravate the Soviet situation, making further instability probable, and obviously, again, this is not going to make Soviet military and strategic planners feel very secure about what's going to happen. All of these things will be reviewed next week, and we will go into other information as we move into the series about the destabilization of the USSR at greater length. I think ultimately, although we were being told that the removal of Soviet influence in Eastern Europe represented a triumph for democracy, etc., and that it harbored a new era of world peace, again, what we're seeing in Lithuania is anything but democracy. There are disturbing indications that similar events are underway to a certain extent in other Eastern European countries. We will be going into that in weeks to come. I think ultimately, the erosion of Soviet influence in Eastern Europe may turn out to be a process analogous to the way Hitler was able to acquire territories such as Czechoslovakia, the Rhineland, and other areas without a shot being fired. The Anschluss of Austria, this may prove to be a peaceful prelude to a very violent and bloody period. We will talk about that again in weeks to come. If this is democracy, I'd hate to see fascism, what's going on in Lithuania. And bearing in mind one of my favorite quotes, this coming from author William Faulkner, "The past is never dead and buried. It isn't even past." I want to apologize for my attempts at the Lithuanian names. My Lithuanian is not existent, and it's not a language which is very hospitable to the American linguistic palate, so please bear with me, and as I'm sure I mispronounce many of those Lithuanian names. We will be reviewing this material next week and going into the destabilization of the Soviet Union at much greater length, and in particular the effects of the Reagan military buildup on the Soviet national security establishment and their economy.